Everybody, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. We're going to do a little different tonight. We're not going to open up with the song and all that stuff because our producer's sick. Tonight, I do want to give a shout-out to all our sponsors. And, man, that's going to be interesting. Okay, NeverTap.com, HyperFight.com, GameChangerClothing.com, Ink Tank Tattoo, Global MMA Consulting, Big T's Nightclub, 24-hour, 24-NLV, Combat Sports Insurance, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Tank Crimes, No Pain, Just Glory, Vicious Smoke Shop, Intimidation Clothing, Brawl Base, Draco Impact Armor, and Clinch Custom Mouthguards at GetClinch.com. Before I bring everybody in tonight, this show, I'm going to throw dedicated to a great lady I love who supported local MMA and events, fighters, and including the studio I'm sitting in. She passed away this week, so Miss Becky, big shout out. I know you're in a much better place. With that being said, let me bring my partner in crime, Lepaki, in. How are you doing tonight?
Dude, I'm flying by the seat of my pants today, bro.
Well, and we're going to have another guest with us for a little bit tonight. We're going to try to keep him as long as we can. He's going to, you know, co-host with us and throw his opinion in there when he feels that we're wrong. Jeff, the owner of Clinch Custom Mouth Guard. How you doing tonight, brother?
Doing great. You're not wrong so far.
Well, it's going to be an interesting night. We got some good people coming on. We got some amateur fighter named Miguel Burbridge, who I watched fight at United or Ultimate Reno Combat, and the kid tore it up there. I was really impressed. I was so impressed that I got a hold of him the next day and asked him if he could come on the show because I'd like to know more about him because he's relatively unknown, and we know a lot of the amateurs on the West Coast, and he's somebody I just don't know a lot about, so I want to know who he is and everything, what's about him. Cause the kid was super impressive, man. Beautiful stance, knows how to tuck his chin, great movement, beautiful low leg kicks, kind of built kind of like a Jose Aldo, you know, very, very lean, muscular guy, very fast. Didn't seem to me to have hardly any cardio issues, so I just thought the kid looked impressive. And then after him, we will have Miss Jenna Fox, a young lady who is fighting, I believe, is it 135?
Sounds right.
Okay, and then the second hour, we'll be kicking back with Eric Stevens from Uncivil War, an event going on in Missouri this weekend, and they have got, I believe, six or seven titles up. Yeah, they got what? 30, 25, 45, 55, 70, 85, 205, and 300. So, yeah, they got some titles up there, man, and a really beautiful stack.
Did you just say 300? Hold on. Did you just say 300?
That's what it's listed as, the super heavies.
Gee. Big old boys, man. Jeff, what's it like reffing a fight when you got two behemoths in the cage like that? Or not.
Jeff. Okay. We might have lost Jeff for a second, but if he is listening still, bro, I will throw that out at the halftime. I will play that ruckus promo for you, buddy, so I can get that thing all listed up. Well, while we're trying to figure out what's up with Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and call.
Hey, hold on.
Before we get any far.
Oh, you're okay. Yeah, you can go make your call.
Yeah, you take care of your business.
All right, I want to give a special shout-out to my sponsors, Vision Smoke Shop, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, MMA Madhouse. Thank you all for allowing me to do this kick-ass job and hang out with some really cool people and watch a lot of fights for free. Now, on to bigger and better business. Tomorrow morning, Wilsonville, Oregon. Oregon State Athletic Commission meeting is at 10 a.m. I've heard a lot of people up there talking noise about being... You know, don't be a Facebook warrior. You know, we got to do this. We got to take the bull by the horns. And I'm just going to tell you, tomorrow, man, I'm going to see who's at the meeting. And if you're not at the meeting, piss off. Just absolutely piss off, bros, because there's no excuse. This is something that as a group we need to do together. We need to make sure that the sport of mixed martial arts is strong in Oregon, and we need to make sure that, you know, there's no personal agendas that are getting in the way of having the fighters, you know, have a platform to perform their skills and test themselves on.
Well, Mr. Lapaki, I know that it is time. Hey, I lost you, didn't I? There we go. It is time. Are you done wrapping up what you needed to wrap up with?
Yeah, but I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about the OSAC meeting in the morning, and including the Facebook Warriors, because I'll know who's at the meeting tomorrow, man. There ain't no hiding in that room.
Hey, and that's straight up, dude. Come on, let's get out and support your local MMA, man. This is serious, guys. This is to keep our sport alive and keep it thriving so that amateurs and pros alike can fight and fight regularly, safely, and make a career out of it. And speaking of amateurs who fight,
hey, hold on. If you're in Central Oregon and you don't make it, I will give you a pass because I heard it's going to be 17 degrees there tonight. So driving that way may be difficult. So I will check the weather tomorrow after the meeting to see if your pass is valid or not.
You guys heard that. Lapaki's throwing you down in check. Now, with great amateurs, there's a great event all the time, and there's one actually coming up, and that's Ultimate Reno Combat. I've seen some of the best up-and-comers in the nation fight on those cards, and we're lucky enough tonight to have somebody who I thought was a pure talent, and I don't know enough about. So I'd like to welcome Miguel Burbridge to the show tonight. Welcome to Madhouse Live, brother.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. You're kicking it with Lapaki and Skippy. The owner of Clinch Custom Mouthguards, Jeff, he's around here somewhere. He might pop in and out, but... For starters, let's kick this off with you giving a little description about yourself, maybe who you are, where you're fighting out of, and what your record is for all the fans.
Yeah, my name is Miguel Burbridge. I live in Sacramento, California. I fight at Robinson's Taekwondo. My fight team, Section 8 fight team. Right now I'm a senior in high school. I got a couple more months of school left, so dealing with that and just working, you know, just training as much as I can.
Well, I tell you what, I said this to you privately, I said this to the guys on air. I was very impressed seeing you for the first time. I felt like you looked a lot more than somebody debuting at Ultimate Reno Combat. How long have you been doing this?
I've been training now for about a year and a half. I started doing stuff like in friends' backyards and like in, you know, just messing around, working out, you know, boxing a little. And then I actually started training at a school when I was 16. And then the gym shut down and stuff, and I had to move. And the gym I'm at now was actually right down the street from my house, and just they were having fight tryouts one day, and I just decided to go down there, and I ended up getting on the team, and that's where I've been at now.
Now, what was your athletic background before all this? Were you into sports at all in your school?
Yeah, I was into basketball when I was, like, in grade school, in, like, elementary school. And then when I got freshman year, I actually went to go play football, but I ended up changing schools. And the school I am currently now going to didn't have sports, so I ended up not playing. But I've always been into, like, football and basketball, and I've always been real active, even when I was, like, young, really little. So I've had a pretty good athletic background so far.
What was the attraction to the ability to join the fight team that maybe drew you towards that opportunity?
I just felt like, because at the gym I was at before, I was kind of just doing stuff just because I was interested. I wasn't really trying to fight yet. And then, like, once I, like, actually was accepted onto someone's fight team, it kind of, like, it made me want to go after it and see what it was like, and that's why I did it.
Now, being 18, still in high school, you take a fight at Ultimate Reno Combat, arguably the best amateur promotion in North America. Arguably, you could, and some people could argue that URC is maybe the best amateur promotion in the world. What was the Monday like after your fight when you walked into school? Did people already know, or?
Well, I go to all independent study school, so I only have school once a week. And when I go, I'm not really with a full class. Like, there's people that have the same dates to go as I do. So, I mean, the people that were at the school at the time that knew me, like, asked me about it, but they didn't really know too much about it. But a lot of my friends and, like, from outside of school and, like, all my family and stuff was blowing me up on Facebook and calling me and stuff. So I still got a lot of, like, attention afterwards.
Now, hey, now, how did you, like, propose this whole idea of joining the fight team and then taking a fight to your mom?
What was that again?
How did you propose, like, joining the fight team and then taking the fight at Ultimate Reno Combat to your family?
Well, they actually were pretty excited that I was accepted onto a fight team. And then I just decided that I wanted to fight once I was 18, and I told them that in the beginning, and they said if that's what I really wanted to do, that they would support me, and they've supported me all this way up, and they're very proud of me of what I've done so far, and we're just moving forward. So
they should be, man. You had one hell of a performance.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Now, are you going to be on 40 on Ultimate Reno Combat 40?
Yes, I will. Me, my teammate Jordan Benson, my teammate Isaiah Wright, and my teammate Breida Carpenter will all be fighting. It'll be Breida Carpenter's debut, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Now, you have an opportunity that a lot of people don't have, and that's to kind of come in raw with not either wrestling or stand-up in your background, no karate. What aspect has maybe drawing you the most? Do you like the ground game more? Do you like the stand up, or are you a fan of working the clinch? You know, what do you seem to like the most?
I'm a stand up fighter. I like, you know, standing and just banging it out and throwing a bunch of hits and stuff.
Now, I got to ask you, who's your striking coach? Because I want to give him a big shout out.
Well, actually, both of my coaches work on my striking with me. My coach, Keith Miller, and my coach and my teammate, Michael Hutchins. They both really helped me out with my boxing, and I've learned a lot from them in just the past 6 months. And, you know, they're like my family. Even though they're my coaches, they're still they're like family to me. So they're pretty awesome.
Well, I got to tell you what, they have done an amazing job for somebody so new in the sport. I stated this to a couple of the guys here tonight and some other friends that you impressed me with your ability to keep your chin tucked, the way you worked your strikes, your footwork. It was very, very solid. That's why I was kind of awed for somebody just stepping in for the first time to seem so calm. And even when you got into some of those exchanges, you know, you never really popped your chin out very far. So those coaches have definitely done some good work with you. You know, I noticed you tried to keep it off the ground as much as possible. How much do you work on that ground defense to keep from getting taken down?
I work on my ground defense probably every day. I work on it probably at least for 30 minutes, if not an hour, on, you know, Mondays and Wednesdays, because those are my stand-up nights, and when I do my Muay Thai and boxing and stuff. But after class and everything, we still take like at least 30 minutes to an hour, as much time as we can, to, you know, fit it in and learn some submissions too. And then on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays is our submission wrestling nights, and we're working on it pretty much the whole night. So
now, I got to ask you, you're coming from Stockton, obviously it's a great bed of MMA.
Sacramento.
Thank you, Lepaki. There's a lot of great MMA and BJJ going on, especially all through Northern California. And are you hitting any of the tournaments, or do you have any plans to hit any of the Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournaments or submission tournaments?
I've only had one submission tournament. It was back in August at Ultimate Fitness. I haven't done too many. I've done a couple kickboxing and Muay Thai events, but I haven't done a lot of jiu-jitsu and grappling ones. I've only had the one. But since August when I did that tournament, I've progressed a lot with my ground game. And right now I'm working more on my takedown defenses because that's where I'm strongest at. But I'm starting to get on my submissions and everything a lot more now. And I've gotten a lot better since that tournament. I actually placed third in that tournament from a guillotine. And I felt great because I did a pancration back in April of 2012. And 2012. And I actually got choked out by a guillotine. So it actually felt pretty good to get someone with that, especially in my first grappling tournament. But yeah, I haven't done a lot. I'm planning on getting involved in a lot more coming this summer, especially, but because I would love to do more of it, because I really love ground game too, even though I prefer stand up.
Hey, so Miguel, what was it like? I mean, it sounds like you've had a lot of experience. Did you have any of like that first fight jitters when you rolled into URC, or were you pretty much just like pumped and ready to go? And
yeah, I was pretty nervous. I mean, I got there Friday afternoon, and I was just trying not to think about it too much. All Saturday, I really just, you know, tried to do stuff to keep me occupied. I, you know, walked around, watched TV in my hotel room and stuff. I didn't try and think too much of it. And then right before the fight is when, like, I got really nervous. And even while I was fighting, I was actually really nervous. I was just taking everything all, you know, in and trying to remain calm at the same time and be smart. So, yeah, I was pretty nervous, man.
Well, you were able to channel it really well. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not a big John Jones fan, but there are some things that he does that I think are really beneficial to young fighters. And one of the things I always pick up on him is when he talks about the butterflies and making them fly in formation. And, I mean, that kind of sounds like what you did that night.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, I got to touch on something. You said you've gotten to do some Thai fights. How much – and I'm a huge, huge fan of Thai and K-1, so how much did you enjoy
Hold on,
doing
Miguel.
Those
Miguel,
fights?
Skippy's gonna tell you how he grew up in Europe, and he's a big
nope,
K-1
nope,
guy.
Nope. I was gonna let that one skip just because I think everybody knows I'm a K-1 kid now. But how much did you like fighting that style where, you know, takedowns weren't such an issue? Because, you know, obviously Jeff, we've had to talk to somebody like him who's fought pro in the stand-up game and other guys. How much did you like that aspect of not having to worry about it and just being able to bang?
I actually liked it a lot. I mean, If I'm offered, you know, a Muay Thai fight or, you know, even a K-1 fight, I'll take it in a heartbeat because I love standing up and just, you know, throwing it out and kicking and not having to worry about it. It's nice not having to worry about it because you're just – because I'm a stand-up fighter, I'm more, you know, focused and, like, just – I'm more comfortable, but – since I've been doing MMA, I mean, I've gotten pretty well-rounded so far. I mean, I'm still working on my ground, but as a stand-up fighter doing MMA, I'm more comfortable than I was starting out, but I was pretty comfortable doing Thai, and I liked it a lot.
I definitely like to, you know, see you bring some of those kicks in more like you did in your last fight. You had some great setups with some combinations up high and then finishing off with the lower kick or coming in with the inside kick and then the overhand right. I thought, you know, that was some great, you know, combinations and movements. So it's paying off, and I hope to see you, you know, obviously come to Ultimate Reno Combat 40 and get another victory. hopefully we get to see you display your skills even more, you know, and just pick apart this guy, because I'm impressed with you. You know, like I said, we see a lot of amateurs throughout this country. Some have it, some don't. And I think I can look at you, and I feel like you've got a serious shot if you, you know, dedicate yourself to making this a career that you're successful at.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That really means a lot.
So now, Miguel, what is a typical section, like a typical training session like, as far as like what kind of strength and conditioning are you doing?
Well, for my strength and conditioning, I mean, Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, you know, we do stand up and we do a lot of, we do about an hour and a half of conditioning, you know, just a burnout of like, you know, everything from like burpees to, you know, tie push-ups and just a bunch of stuff, you know, just to make you puke basically. And we do, you know, body conditioning, you know, we have partners, you know, beat our body up and kick a couple times, you know, just toughen up our core, do a lot of abs. Submission wrestling, we do a lot of, you know, like a lot of bear crawls and Spider-Man crawls and squats and partner bear crawls and, you know, just a lot of stuff like that involves, you know, you picking up your partner or throwing them or carrying them, and we do a lot of running. And yeah, and then when I'm not training, I'm most likely almost every day I'm at the gym lifting for about a couple hours and doing cardio for a couple hours. So I do a lot of strengthening and conditioning and a lot of, you know, just working out. I just work out every day. So, I mean, I'm always doing something.
So let me ask you, how difficult was this weight cut you just had for your last fight? And do we see you dropping down one more weight class?
Sorry, what was that? I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you.
How hard was this weight cut for you on this last event? And if it was easy, do you think you're going to cut down one more class?
It was actually pretty tough. This was actually the most weight I've ever had to cut. I've never been past 130. The lowest I've been is 132, and it was pretty. It sucked, basically. I starved myself. Again, it was, it sucked. I fucking starved myself, and just Friday I couldn't eat anything, and then Saturday all day I couldn't eat or drink anything, and I actually had to sit in the sauna and run a little for about 40 minutes before I went to my weigh-ins just to get off the last couple pounds. So, once I got down to like 133, I was basically just burning all muscle then because I was super sucked up, so it wasn't too fun.
I was gonna say he needs to listen to Mercedes and how she keeps her fighters' weights in check during their, because she's got it down to where they at least get to eat, you know.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So hey, what was the first thing you ate after the fight?
The first thing I ate after the fight was a hamburger. So
double
in and out order?
Yeah, I just got a hamburger and then got another one and had a big ass milkshake.
yes, that's what we like to hear. You're like, I'm packing that back on.
Yeah. I was eating throughout the day.
Now, are you going to attack the weight cut for URC 40 a little bit different, or?
Yeah, for 40, I'm going to actually be fighting at 135, so I won't have to cut as much weight. It'll be more comfortable for me because that's what I'm pretty used to getting down to. I mean, I've been – before this past fight, the lowest I was 132, and before that 135. So I'll feel pretty comfortable and, you know, strong, and I'm actually glad that I don't have to go down so low. And then probably trying to going to probably after this fight, depending on how it goes, going to try and go up at least one more weight class.
Okay, cool. Well, I tell you what, Miguel, I can't thank you enough for taking your time out to hang out with me and let me and the fans get to know you a little better. I want to give you a chance to give some shout-outs to any sponsors, coaches, family, social media so fans can follow you.
I just want to, you know, say a shout-out to my coaches, you know, Robinson's Taekwondo, where I train out of. My sponsors, Rage Fight Gear, Shine Cafe, and Vanquish Sports, you know, they support us. And all my friends and family, my mom, Angela Duran, my dad, Joel Barrow, you know, just everyone else. You can look me up on Twitter at Section 8 Savage. You can follow me. I'll follow you guys back. And thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, no, I really appreciate you taking the time. I will be watching you at Ultimate Reno Combat 40, you know, and I wish you the best of luck, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate being on your show. Thank you for giving me your time. And hopefully I can maybe get a knockout for you guys. That's what I'm going to go for. So.
Hey, just get the win, brother. Just get the win, man.
Yep.
Don't go in there looking for anything in particular. Just let it flow. Hey, Skippy's not the only one. I know Skippy always likes to be like, I'll be watching you so that all the fighters that we talk to think like he's the only one watching you guys fight. But there will be a whole group of us, man. We wish you the best of luck, Miguel, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support. Talk to you guys later.
Oh, later, for sure, man. We'll have you back on most definitely.
Awesome.
Oh, Lebaki's great.
God, man, why are you always trying to steal the thunder, Holmes? Why are you always got to be doing that, man?
Okay, Frank,
I'll be watching
there.
Your fight, Miguel. I watched your fight. Oh, I'll be watching. I'll be watching. Like what?
Me and Jack just like spreading around.
Everybody,
like,
let's clarify.
Patty cake all night.
Ultimate Reno Combat 39 was watched by Malapaki and myself. We had a great conversation and argued different points. And anybody who follows Malapaki and me on Twitter knows the last three URC Ultimate Reno Combats, me and you have had arguments on Twitter and complaints about Kim Winslow. And I want everyone to join our live. Lepaki, Skippy, and Clinch's live Twitter comments for Ultimate Reno Combat 40 as the three of us watch this event and bring it to you.
That's right. Good job. Now you're getting
now we're talking.
God.
Finally some honesty. Mr. Let's Be Honest got honest.
Hey, what's
Dude,
the deal here, man?
Right
no
here
respect.
That's
no,
right.
Carl's
Thanks.
Here. You wouldn't be doing that shit.
Hey, I got a gangster in my pocket right now. Come over here and smash both y'all. Step up, buddy. Tell them who you are and what you're about.
You got a pocket gangster?
Dude,
it's probably a needle.
Sounds pretty vicious.
Dude, Chris Gregory is a gangster.
Yo! What's up, guys?
Gangster.
You got beef there?
Silver dollar gangster. Silver dollar.
I'm the gangster of love.
You and Mark Henry.
Hey, did Mr. Harlem Shake just say that? Was that Mr. Harlem Shake?
Hey,
there's no Harlem Shake.
There's no Harlem Shake when you're breaking up, Chris.
You hear my kid in the background? Man,
I do. Are you gonna join us in a half hour for
Just mute me for now until I can get my kid calmed down.
You got it, brother. Okay,
nothing like
Hey, Chris, did you get permission to come on our show from?
Look, you know what I'm saying. We don't need permission to do anything. I'm covering local MMA and stuff that, you know, my friend is another promoter, but. Hey, you know, it sucks, but, hey, shit happens, and I got to support my boys. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of friends on this card. So, you know, I mean, if I don't write about my homies, I'll feel bad on that side. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, my job is to bring fighters exposure. You may not please every promoter, but you know what I'm saying? My job is to help the fighters. So that's all I got to say. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Hey, bro, I totally got your back on that, man.
Well, that guy's my new best friend. He got no worries. I'll cover it. I'll straighten him out.
Well, Chris, I'm going to drop you for right now. You're going to be chilling. When Eric gets on, we'll bring you back because we have our next guest in queue. Miss Jenna Fox, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hold on. Time out. That was a horrible introduction. Let's start this over. I'll try this. We have undefeated amateur 5-0, Jenna Fox.
9-0.
Well, UG, God, man. I can't trust the UG for anything.
Well,
no,
you guys both suck.
They don't keep up with Illinois very well.
Well, at least I knew undefeated. Skippy's just like, oh, here's Jenna Fox. Like, nobody needs to know anything about her.
Well, Miss Jenna Fox, welcome to Madhouse Live. That is my partner, Lapaki. Tonight, guest hosting with us is the owner of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards and president, Jeff. And I'm Skippy. We are going to kick back and spend a little bit of time with you, young lady. We want to know a little bit about you and the fact that you're tearing it up. All the, you know, we got to find out what's going on in you, you know. What's your background to start? How did you get into MMA?
Well, I started training one of my friends, Logan Hickerson. He fights as well. He was training, and I was just looking for a good workout originally, and he took me to the gym that he was training at to work out with him, and I really loved it. I loved the workout because it was intense. It was exactly what I was looking for, and started to spar and grapple a little bit, and I immediately wanted to compete. I was hooked from the start.
So I have a tricky question. Hold on, Skippy, before you get too far into it. Because when I was looking at your fight record, now you're fighting for a 135 title this weekend against Kim Woods.
Yes.
But your fight against Samantha Taylor was at 155. Is that in your normal weight group, or did you go up? How did that fight come about?
It should be 135. With Samantha Walter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was at 145. I fought at 145 all of my fights last year, but I started out at 135, and I just dropped back for my last fight.
Was it easier finding fights at 145 out that way, or?
I got a few good 145 fights. I'm just a lot more comfortable. At 135, I'm leaner. I feel more energetic at that weight. So I decided to go back to that.
So is that the weight that we will hopefully see you turn pro at then?
Yes, that's the plan.
Now, obviously you're focused on this strap coming up, but your long-term goals, do you see yourself being pro by the end of the year?
That would be nice. I mean, I'm taking it one fight at a time, just when I feel ready and when my coach says I'm ready, then we'll make that step.
Now, with you being 9-0, what's the toughest fight? Because you've obviously had a chance to fight more than a few times. What's the toughest fight been for you?
Oh, the toughest fight I've had or the toughest thing about fighting?
Toughest fight, I mean, you can count weight camp in that issue if you want, you know.
Training is definitely the hardest part. The cutting weight is, it can be rough. I've gotten a lot better at it practicing, but those last couple days are always rough. It makes you kind of question, why am I doing this? But it's worth it.
Now, you're training with another fighter. What gym are you training at again?
Central Illinois Combat Club in Canton, Illinois.
And who are some of your coaches?
Bob Long is my head coach.
Cool. Now, these coaches are obviously grooming you and getting you ready. This fight coming up, has this been an easier camp, even though there's a title on the line, or has it been a normal camp?
Oh, it's been pretty normal. We always just look at the things that I need to work on. We usually pick a few things out of my last fight that I didn't do as well as I would have liked, and then we will, you know, drill those things over and over and over again and just make sure that every fight's better.
Now, with all this women's MMA going on today, it's so many levels, and now the UFC opening a door, what do you think, how much have you felt that they've invested back into you women fighters, the different organizations?
I don't know. I mean, the UFC opening their doors to women is a great thing, but I definitely would not hesitate to, you know, look at other organizations, because there is Invicta, especially Invicta is huge, and I think it's going to be just as big as UFC, so I don't think anyone should overlook that.
I love that answer. I am so proud of you for that answer. I 100% agree with that. I think that's a great, great statement. You know, and LaFoxy, don't look at me like a dog. Dog eyes. She's a Zuffa zombie, girl. He is all about
who
Zuffa,
is
Zuffa Zuffa. You.
Oh,
it's all right. It's all right that she hurts your feelings by mentioning their competition, but understand.
Oh my God.
you know,
after
it's
Oregon State Athletic Commission meeting tomorrow, I'm going to drive over to Redmond and I'm going to beat you at your own work, and then I'm going to drive back to Eugene to my job with your wife.
Oh. And all her cookies, man. You're mean. You know, this fight coming up, if everything goes the way you want it to and you walk away with the title, will you look to at least defend it once?
Possibly. Most likely, yes. Kind of depends on how long that promoter, Mike Goodwin, waits to have another show, but I would definitely be happy to fight again for him and defend that belt.
I like it. But now if the right offer comes along, sayonara defense.
You gotta take the opportunities you're given sometimes. So I can't say, I'm not going to say 100%, but I'm open to my options.
Now, there's so many established organizations now bringing more and more, pro female fighters on. Is there any organizations other than Invicta that have caught your eye?
I know that CFA, they just started their 145 women's tournament. I've heard great things about that organization. If they had a 135 tournament, I'd definitely be interested to go there. And I know there's so many organizations all over the place, it's hard to keep track of them all. But that's another one that I've heard really good things about.
Yeah, the tournament, not only the talent and the payday is wonderful for anybody, male or female. 20,000 for payout for winning it, plus individual rounds. You know, I mean, that's a pretty good day.
That sounds pretty nice.
Does that ever concern you that you're this far into your amateur and you're not getting paid yet, or is that not a worry to you?
It's not really a worry, just because this is what I love to do, and I don't have to get paid to want to do it. So I'm just doing what I love, and once I get to the point where I feel comfortable fighting on the pro level, then getting paid to do it will just be an extra perk.
Hey, Jeff, you want to jump in?
I have a question. I have a question for you. You probably saw in the news this last day about the transgender athlete out of CFA. How would you feel about fighting a woman who used to be a man? Would you be comfortable with that? How would you feel?
I would be open to it. I do feel that her opponents have the right to know and to have that choice, you know, so they can consider that when taking the fight. But I feel like, I think I read that she went through, you know, the hormone therapy for like 10 years. I don't know all the details, but I feel like that she has the right to fight women as long as her opponents agree to that.
Cool.
Chris.
See how many people feel the same way.
Hey, Chris, did you want to jump in too, brother?
I don't know. You know, they're going to have to, I think they're going to have to test the testosterone levels and see if they match. And I think it's going to be hard for her to get a license.
I agree, definitely. And I think testing for testosterone is a good idea.
Well, I think that actually, I think this is like a big misconception about this whole situation right now, that people are all focused on what are her testosterone levels. That's insignificant to me at this point. I want to know more about, like, what's the bone density? What's her skeletal structure? Because she fully developed as a male. She has bone density of a man. She has the physiological buildup of a man.
And
that's
I,
what
I mean.
And because
she had the surgery, I believe that takes quite a bit of testosterone away. You know what I'm saying? I mean, taking your nut straight up. I mean, I guarantee that that's taking a lot of testosterone away also. And that might put her even. But, I mean, I think that the strength, you know, I mean, fighters are going to have to, you know, sign a waiver. I mean, it's going to be a big deal. And there's a lot of issues that come up with this.
Yeah.
Now,
man, I've tried to kind of, you know, read about it as it's come up and all that, and there's so much I don't know about that process that I, you know, a lot of people are jumping on her, calling her a man, and that's the part that I hate, is the people who are automatically judging, calling her a man, saying she'll be fighting men without any sort of testing or, you know, investigation into the situation.
Well, she meets all the criteria. She could go to the Olympics. She meets all the. She's done everything that she could do.
Nope.
She needs to do.
Nope.
She could go
nope.
to the Olympics.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Hey, Jeff.
How do you figure?
I just read in the description, and for transgender ruling, you have to have had the surgery before the completion of your
puberty.
Before you finish your transformation of puberty, you have to have had that surgery completed.
Transgender's
ruling.
What about the NCAA?
I don't know about the NCAA.
She meets that, too.
That's
one year. One year of hormone therapy, and it says she could compete in the NCAA.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Jenna, I have some questions for Jenna. I saw some pictures of you. Now, are you over 6 feet or like right around 5'10", 5'11"?
No, I'm only 5'8".
Oh, wow. You must have been, that poor guy next to you must have been like 5'5". I was looking at that guy. I was like, man, this is a really tall girl. That dude looks like a midget.
Now, do you have ladies that you could train with in-house at your gym? Are there other competitors?
I do. I have one other female that I train with regularly. She's, you know, there when I'm at the gym all the time. And we have two or three other females in the gym that I get to work with on occasion.
Now, how much difference is it for you? Do you prefer to train with the ladies, or do you like getting in there with the guys? Because maybe they can push you a little harder in certain aspects.
I like to do both, really, because, you know, training with the guys does push you a little harder, but training with the women puts you in a situation that's going to be closer to what your fight will be like. Pretty much all the guys in the gym are at least 30 pounds more and so much more muscle that you have to work a little differently than you do than when you're training with the women.
Now, which fight, when you look back across your 9 fights, Jenna, which fight is your favorite? Which fight was your most difficult?
My favorite fight is my last fight I fought 2 weeks ago. In East Peoria, I had a rematch with Ashley Taylor, and that was just a lot of fun. I got to work my stand-up a little bit. I got to work some ground and pound, I got the unanimous decision, and I just felt really comfortable. So that was a really enjoyable fight for me. I'd say my most difficult fight, it didn't last really long, but my fight with Samantha Walters in Knoxville back in October, that was just a challenge for me because I did get stuck on my back and I was taking some hard shots, but I got that arm bar and got out of there, and so I was pretty happy after that.
Was that like the first real trouble that you'd been in your career?
I think that's the longest I've been stuck on my back. I've gotten stuck on my back a couple of times and got out of it pretty quickly. But she had me stuck there pretty good for probably a minute, and working her game, and I was just patiently waiting for an arm to defend itself.
Did you go belly down on that one, or?
No, it was kind of an unconventional arm bar. I kind of had it, I was on my back, she was in my guard, and I just kind of grabbed it and pulled it to the side and put my hips.
Is that kind of like the move that Frank Mir pulled off on the dude when he, like, I can't even, I wish I could have had a good way to describe it, but he pulled that thing down and then, like, twist, I don't even know. He broke a guy's arm, like, almost ripped it out of the socket with that move. That was dirty.
I don't know. I didn't quite rip it off, but she did say it hurt afterwards.
Hey, the fight we were just talking about, was that supposed to be a title fight originally?
The one with Samantha Walters?
No, Ashley Taylor.
Ashley Taylor. The first time we fought, it was supposed to be a title fight, and it was supposed to be at 125. But I didn't make it. Cutting to 125 was a terrible idea. And I was 2 pounds over my allowance. And so it just became a normal fight. So I didn't get to go for the belt. But this last one was just a regular fight.
So since your records are all screwy on the UG, how many times have you been presented a title fight in your amateur career now?
This one will be my first official title fight.
Okay.
And in Illinois, will you guys go 5-3s or just 3-3s?
It depends on the organization, but for this one, it will be 5-3s.
Are you excited for that?
I am. After my last 3-round fight, I wasn't even out of breath. And so if it goes that long, I know I can handle that and push through those last 2 rounds. So I'm excited for that.
Now, what's the hardest part of camp for you? Is it the cardio? Is it the sparring? Is it the weight cut? Is it
probably
just like
the weight cut? I'm getting a lot more comfortable sparring, and that's something that I've been working on for a while. So I definitely have to say the most difficult part is the weight cut, for sure.
Are you training full-time now, or do you work or go to school or anything?
I work part-time, and I go to school part-time. I work at a hotel here in town. And I'm just working on an associate's degree at a college nearby.
That's impressive. That's a lot on your table. That's very impressive.
It takes some juggling, but I get it done.
Well, do you know if there's any way that this event will be streamed, for your title fight, or?
It won't. I know that they video all the fights professionally, and they usually have them up within a week or so on YouTube. I am wanting to try to convince Mike Goodwin, the promoter, to stream his next one because I think it would be – it's a great show. He puts on a really high-class show for this area, and I think it would do well if it was streamed online.
Oh, tell him to get a hold of Tim or Frank at GoFightLive.tv.
I will do that.
I did, like that. Yeah, that's the place, man. They put on so many amateur and pro events around the United States and the world on there for stream for fans like us. So, yeah, definitely love to see you guys, his organization, up on the stream, because a lot of fans can't make it to see you. Fans like, you know, us that are around the country that would love to come watch you fight in person.
Yeah,
if we can't. A stream's the second best.
Easy.
And with you know, with today's social media and everything, how much fan interaction do you get? Because obviously you have fans on Twitter from around the world. Do you get a time to sit down and tweet back to any of them, or on Facebook?
I try to. I try to respond to anybody who tweets to me or sends me a message. I know that, you know, those fans are my support system, especially when I go pro. I mean, look at Liz Carmouche. Her fans got her into the UFC. So, you know, I definitely try to make time to talk to as many people as I can.
Now, you just had an article, or like a little kind of like a mini article drop on Babes of MMA.
Yeah.
How was that? And was that like your first big like exposure media-wise, or...?
Oh, I've had a few articles. Babes of MMA did an article last summer before one of my fights. I just had a local newspaper run an article today about my title fight. It's pretty cool, though, still, when I have people who want to write about me. Pretty sweet.
Now, is what the, I'm not sure. Are you from a small town, a big town?
I am from a small town. I grew up in a town of 900, and right now I live in a town of about 600.
About 600?
1,500.
Oh. So everybody knows that you're a fighter. Now, does anybody ever try to test you in a town like that?
Not really. I mean, you get the occasional person fooling around who tries to get you to punch them, but I don't. I don't want to do that.
Do you oblige the guys that ask you that? Like, if they're like, oh, how hard can you? Like, here, sucker. Pow!
No, I haven't yet. I mean, maybe someday if I get a good enough reason to, but...
Now, I always ask this question to the ladies, because it's not quite as effective with the guys, but you're out with your boyfriend and you have a big black eye. Do you ever like notice people kind of like giving you like a funny glance, or has anybody ever approached you about domestic violence or anything like that?
Nobody's ever said anything to me, but I do get the look. Like, they're concerned. My boyfriend's actually told me that my boyfriend fights also, and he told me he just does not like to walk around with me after I've had a fight, because people just give him the dirtiest looks.
Oh, you got to mess with him, man. Like, next time you're in the store and people are looking, you got to be like, I'm sorry I put too much pepper on your macaroni and cheese. Mess with them.
What's really funny is when we've both had a fight the same weekend and we both are beat up. And then I can just imagine what people think then.
Oh, man.
Have you guys ever talked to a promoter about putting you on the same card?
We've been on the same card 3 or 4 times.
What's that like for you?
I don't know. I think I get more nervous for him fighting than I do for me fighting. And I think it's the same way for him.
Does that kind of interfere with, like, your pre-fight routine, maybe? Like, if he fights before you, are you maybe distracted, or do you corner your boyfriend? Or if he's after you?
But I do stand on the sidelines and scream a lot. trying to corner him, but it doesn't usually go so well from where I'm at. But usually it doesn't cause any problems. We're usually far enough apart in the fights that we've been in that I've been able to watch him and he'll do my pre-fight routine, get it all done.
Well, before we run out of time, I'd like to give you a chance to give any shout-outs that you'd like to any sponsors, any, you know, gyms, coaches, family, friends, and make sure some social media so fans can follow you.
Right. I'd definitely like to thank my coach and my team, Bob Long and Central Illinois Combat Club, my boyfriend, my family and friends. They've all been super supportive. My Twitter and Facebook fans, you can follow me on Twitter at Titan Fox. And on Facebook, Jenna Foxy Lady Fox is the name of my fan page. All my sponsors, Diffusion Hair Studio, Grip Mouth Guards, JimBooty.com, AJH Photography, trying not to forget anyone. all my sponsors, if I did forget anyone, I really appreciate their support as well.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in this title fight. We want you to go collect it, and then that way we can watch you jump up to the pros and start collecting some wins at the Invicta level.
Thank you.
And definitely, you know, make sure, you know, somebody can tweet or post on Facebook when your fight's over so we can know and we can share it with our fans.
Definitely. I will do that.
Hey, thank you so much for your time, young lady, tonight, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for joining us, Jenna.
Thanks.
Oh, guys, it's time to pay some bills. We're going to have a quick song, and then we'll be right back with the second hour.
Hey, hold on. I just want to give a shout-out to Senator Rand Paul for I don't know how many hours of filibuster he is on right now, but this guy is holding it down for all you yahoos that felt like voting for that ignoramus that's trying to lead this country into the dirt.
And
if you don't like it,
that,
I got two words for you. Pay bills, Skippy.
You got it. Hey, big shout out to all our sponsors. Ink Tank Tattoo, Global MMA Consulting, Big T's Nightclub, Combat Sports Insurance, 24NLV, BrawlBase.com, Central Oregon Trike. You got to get one of those things, man. I love them. Triumph Fitness, where my fat butt will be soon. Tank Crimes, who brought us this commercial break.
I didn't know this
no
was a comedy routine.
Vision Smoke Shop, Intimidation Clothing. Man, those guys, they're everywhere. Dude, they're killing it with sponsorships at every level. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, best mouth guards in the business at GetClinch.com. Also, Draco Impact Armor, man. You guys check them out. They got all your gear. Also, Game Changer Clothing. Also, HyperFight.com, which they have a great selection of clothes on there as well, and links to Draco as well. And then NeverTap.com. All our great supporters and sponsors, please go check them out. We're going to play some music, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes. second hour, man, we're going to bring on another special guest. Not only do we have the president and CEO himself of Quench Custom Mouth Guards, but we're going to bring on, some might call, the wizard of MMA, the guy who hides behind the Emerald Curtain and lets all the fighters all the way to the land of Oz, and that is the president of MMAtopics.net, Chris Gregory. How you doing, brother?
What's up, man? I'm just sitting here with the kids. My wife's at work, so it's just me and the boys tonight. So if they get loud, sorry about it.
No, hey, I appreciate you joining us tonight to sit down and talk about this event, Uncivil War, that's coming up in your neck of the woods, I believe, in Missouri. So I'm super excited to talk to Eric as soon as we get him. Why don't you give a little bit of info about this card?
Well, Uncivil War, you know, it's an organization in Springfield, Missouri. There's going to be 7 title fights. So, I mean, it's stacked. And, I mean, it's stacked with, you know, guys like Brandy's pal and Justin Anderson, 205ers, tough dudes. My boy Caleb Dye, he's 9-3. He's taking on Christian Camp. Christian Camp's the 155 champ. This will probably be Caleb's last fight at 155. I mean, if he has to defend the title, then he will. But he's a 145er, and his teammate dropped out of the fight. His teammate was Corey Hines, and Caleb was like, hey, I'll take that fight. So he stepped up. My boy Miles McDonald, a little 125er Army Combatives fighter. I guess the Army Combatives program got cut, so now he was looking for a fight and ended up getting it on 4 days' notice. So he'll fight Isaac Badger. What's up?
I have got the promoter himself, Eric Stevens. How are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Yo. Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with me and my normal co-host, Labaki. Tonight we got some guest hosts kicking with us. We have the president of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Jeff, and then the president from MMAtopics.net, Chris Gregory. We want to talk to you about your card, man. You got a stacked card, multiple titles up. Looks like you're throwing it down pretty good down there.
Yeah, I've been working hard at it, man. This is my 11th event. You know, I've just kind of been, you know, creeping in the background, doing my thing, you know, not just kind of focusing on taking care of these fighters and doing the best job for them that I can. And it's paying off, you know, where I'm getting more and more fighters that want to fight on my show. I spend a lot of extra money on extras for the fighters that a lot of other shows just don't do, you know, lighting trusses and smoke, fog, lights, high-end photographers. The show's televised. I mean, just a lot of things I've worked on putting together to support these fighters so that when they make the transition to pro, they can sell some tickets, you know?
You even give gauze and hand wraps.
I do. I give them gauze. I give them hand wraps. The funniest thing is I even give them a hand towel for their corner man so they don't have to bleed on their T-shirts. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool of you. You know, I've seen that a few times. Very few organizations who step up to make sure their fighters have all the correct gear and sometimes even new gear like you're doing, which is great of you. I you know, it's funny because it's a small cost in the big scheme of things, and fighters take that to heart. They say, hey, man, this promoter took really good care of us. You know, he got us this, and, you know, our hotels were this, and, you know, our travel was taken care of here, whatever the case may be. So, you know, that's a good thing to see you trying to, you know, lead by example.
It's basically what I did was, you know, I run a gym in Nixon, Missouri, Team Fusion Jiu-Jitsu and MMA. We have a pretty prominent fight team, and, you know, I've taken these guys all over to fight, and every time I go to someone else's show, I just make a mental note of the things that I wish were different, and that's kind of how I modeled my show, is just try to get rid of all the things that I didn't like and just, you know, give fighters the least amount of reasons to have anything to complain about, you know. They still find little stuff, though, you know.
The judges.
So,
the judges, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you have, I believe, 18 fights on this card. Is that correct?
No, I've got 24 on the card.
Oh, wow, it's gotten bigger. Oh.
Well, it's not that it's gotten bigger. It's just that there's 18 fights on the main card, but I'm doing prelims. Earlier in the day at 5 o'clock, we're running prelims. So They'll actually start at 5:30. The doors will open at 5, and I have another 5 fights that are we're doing during the prelims. So we ended up with so many fights, I didn't want to try and jam them all in at 7 p.m. You know, I've done that before, and I've seen how that turns out, and it just kind of drags out a little bit too long. So I moved some fights down and created a prelim show that includes I've got a Karate Kids team coming out and doing a demo, and then we're going to have the national anthem and all that stuff done. And at 7, we'll kick off with the main fight card.
So one ticket will get you in this whole event all day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just okay. One ticket gets you in. But the crazy thing is with this show is, you know, we've sold out. Our show has we have two sides to the venue. You're either on the north side of the cage or the south side. It's not circular. It's rectangular. And so on one side of the cage where the fighters walk out, there's a walkout ramp, lighting truss, the fog, the smoke, and all that stuff. We call that priority seating. Anybody who buys tickets in advance, they get seats over there. Then we have VIP tables, cage side. That stuff's all sold out, and it's been sold out. And today we had to go get a second run of tickets printed up and start selling out the general admission in advance, which is, you know, we've never had to do that in 11 shows. So that's a good problem to have. I'm happy. Don't get me wrong, but that's all that's left now is general admission, $20 ticket, get you in, you know, to the whole thing. But all the premium seats are bought.
Wow. Dude, sounds like you throw them down an event, man. Will this be streamed in any way, or is this not going to be streamed?
Is it going to be what?
Streamed? Will we be able to see it online by any chance?
Oh, no. No streaming. No streaming online. The deal we've got set up is that our KOZL, one of our local television stations, will be there. They will record the event, and then it will air locally 3 weeks later. So, and of course, we don't make a huge deal out of the TV thing until after the show's over because, you know, we don't want to have everybody say, no, I'll just stay home and watch it in 3 weeks, you know. We want people to come out and watch it live. And then we air it again 3 weeks later. And then we're working on a deal to have all the archived shows put online for streaming for later viewing. You know, it's kind of – I've seen some of the other promoters stream it, and, you know, I don't know what kind of success they've had with it. So it's not something we pursued as of yet. We're open to it, though, that's for sure.
But the fans that, you know, and then the fighters on this card 3 weeks later in their hometowns are going to be able to watch this, at, you know, on a Saturday night per se.
Friday night, prime time, 7 to 9 p.m. is when it airs. So it's a Friday night thing. And what we do is we have a viewing party at the venue where we hold the fights. We actually have a viewing party there in their sports bar. It's Classic Sports Bar and Grill. And they put it on all the screens, and a lot of the fighters come in for that. It will usually have a professional photographer there to do professional photos for all the fighters that are fighting on the next card, because it's spaced about 3 weeks. We go 3 weeks, we do a show 3 weeks later, a viewing party 3 weeks later, the next fights, because we run a show about every 6 weeks.
Okay, I got to ask you, on your fight card listed on Facebook, is that a misprint or is that correct, 300-pound title fight?
That's correct.
That's awesome.
That's super, super heavy, dude. These guys are huge, man. They hit the cage. I'm always worried that, you know, they're going to break the cage. I've seen it happen. You know, so there's some big dudes. Josh Collins is, I think, 5-0 now. Unfortunately, I didn't have anybody to step up to fight him with a great fight record. Raymond Gonzalez has already fought and lost to Josh Collins once, and he claimed, hey, man, that was a fluke. You know, there's no way that guy beats me again. Raymond is an accomplished kickboxer, so he's competed outside of MMA and other combat sports. And, you know, it's the same thing with our women's division. We're trying to get those belts out there to create competition and get more people to step up and fight in that weight class. But, you know, super heavy is not it's tough to find fighters in super heavyweight division.
Hey, since we have the pleasure of having Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouthguards, not only does he own the mouthguard company, but he's a state referee and judge in the state of Washington. Jeff, I got to ask you, have you ever reffed super heavies?
Yes, I have. Yep.
How crazy is it?
It's interesting. One of the times, I've done it a few times, one of the times was in a very small cage, like a 14-foot cage, 15-foot cage. It was scary. It was like falling, it was like just falling inside a little phone booth. So, you got to stay on the, stay on your bike. I wanted to race after that.
No, you have, what is it, six titles up, Eric?
Yeah, that's correct. I've got six. We've got six title fights, and they're solid, especially the top three. We're talking guys that are 9-3, 9-2, that are getting up here fighting for these belts. So they're, you know, they're well-earned title fights. Everyone that's fighting for these belts, they deserve to be there. They deserve to be fighting for these belts. There's some guys on here at the welterweight, John Hickman. This guy's 5-0, knocks people out all the time. And then we got Owen, Bad Omen Foster from Team Convicts, who came from out of nowhere. No one expected this kid to perform, and he's just leveling guys. I mean, he knocked his last opponent out in the first round in, you know, a minute or two. And this guy that he fought was an accomplished fighter. No one expected him to win, and he come out and knocked him out cold. And then John Hickman won. John Diesel Hickman, he won his last fight by knockout. So I got two knockout artists going head-to-head. I'm excited about that fight. The Brandez pal and Justin Anderson, I don't know personally, Chris, maybe you might know. I don't know of any other 205ers in the area that could compete with either one of these guys. Justin Anderson is 7-0. Brandez pal is 9-2 or 9-3 now, and holds titles at a few other amateur promotions. I don't know any other 205ers that I could even get to fight either one of these guys, and I finally got them two in the cage together, so that's exciting.
Anderson, he is huge, man. That dude is stacked up, man. I seen him last week, and that dude is stacked, man. And I think Brandez is going to have a tough fight, but, man, Dez, he doesn't even really look like a solid fighter, but that dude has knockout power, and he will knock you out. I've seen him send two people to the hospital, and that's no joke. Two back-to-back fights, he sent people to the hospital. So, I mean, Brandez is not someone to
Yeah, Brandez is also, you know, hard to knock out. I've seen guys hit him hard, and he just keeps coming forward. He's a very tough fighter. I've been watching Brandez since his first fight. I mean, and same thing with Justin. I've watched him since his first fight, and they're both amazing athletes. I've seen Justin knock a guy out from his back, with his back to the mat. A guy had him mounted, and he reached up, boom, and caught him and knocked him out from the top, and it's pretty crazy.
Wow. I want to see that. I got to find that video. I'm going to look for it.
Yeah, I've always
wanted to be able to see
video
that on that one.
I've always wanted to see that happen in person, man. That's like my dream to have that happen at a fight card.
I was standing right there. But I will say this, though. It wasn't admitted that was what happened. It was the story that came out later was different than that. But I was standing right there. I saw the whole thing. It was pretty awesome.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, there's so many, I think there's so many great fights. What do you think is going to be fight of the night? And I know it's hard to pick. I got like three in mind, but what do you think is going to be fight of the night?
Well, here's what I think. Based on the fact that Caleb Dye and went the distance with Frank Gutierrez, okay, I believe they went to decision. I think that potentially Christian Camp and Caleb Dye, that one, Christian successfully defended this title three times already. But Caleb, what are you going to do, knock him out? No. What are you going to choke him out? No. I mean, Caleb is just, he's tough as they come. So I'm thinking that one. I think that Brandez pal, Justin Anderson, and then Hickman versus Foster, one of those is going to produce knockout of the night. And then for sure, Miles McDonald and Isaac Badger, those two guys, you know how it is 125ers, they have a hard time knocking each other out anyway. And Isaac Badger has a way of getting out of submissions that are just uncanny. You're like, oh, he's going to tap, but nope, he gets out of them. And Miles is a submission artist. So that's potential candidate for Friday night.
I think that that fight is going to come down to cardio, honestly, and I think Miles is going to take it because of that.
Yeah.
I think it's tough, though. But his last fight, I saw his cardio didn't look great. I mean, in between rounds, he sat down, and Miles isn't like that. You know, Miles is a little really, he should be first 115. We need a 115 class 4 miles because he can make 115 easy.
Yeah, I've got a 115 class. As a matter of fact, we're creating it. We're building it. It's on the prelims. We've got a men's strawweight tournament going on this card. I've got four strawweights fighting for to move up the ladder towards creating a championship fight at 115. I got Justin Chaney, Nick Osborne, Josh Brackenridge, Alan Applegate. Those guys are all strawweights. They're all going to be fighting on this card on the prelims.
Is it a
one? Oh, that's badass.
Is this just the opening round of the tournament?
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's not you know, an official, you know, tournament. I've got a bracket of four guys that are all strawweights, and they're all going to fight each other, and whoever's the best one coming out of there, you know, we'll try to build towards the championship for the 115 for 115 pound division. So that's happening.
So you'll have the two fights. You'll have the two fights that night and then the championship fight on the next event, maybe, or the event after.
Yeah, that's the idea. You know, but,
okay.
But really, I don't know. Even the champion who comes out of that will probably have someone else for him to fight for, like, an interim title. Because I want these guys to have a few more wins on their record. You know, I don't want to be known as the promoter that's throwing belts out to guys that are 0-0 and 1-0. And, hey, look, you know, here's a title shot. You know, I do that the least amount possible. You know, I've got a women's division fight on this card that is going to be a top contender fight. Whoever wins this one is going to fight on the next show for a belt. And the only reason I'm doing that really is because I want someone to challenge them for that belt. I'm trying to, you know, I saw the UFC do it with Ronda Rousey. They're saying, hey, we're putting a belt on this lady and whoever wants it, come and get it. And I'm kind of trying to emulate that. It's tough with the women's division. There's just not that many of them out there.
Yeah,
I like the round robin idea actually a little bit more than just the straight tournament, because that way you can really get a gauge on which guys, you know, where they all stand at amongst each other.
Exactly, and I want, like I said, you know, my goal is to have accomplished fighters wearing all of our belts. You know, that's important to me, but it's at the same time, you know, some of the divisions have to be built, you know, from somewhere, and you've got to create opportunities for other people to want to challenge them. But I, you know, and a lot of that comes too from, I'm not a big fan of, I don't bring guys down from St. Louis and Kansas City. I try to keep this fight card 100% local as much as possible. I try to limit it to a 70-mile radius. You know, almost all the fighters are, you know, even the ones that are traveling here are coming from Joplin, which is only about 70 miles from here.
Hey, I wanted to ask
now, hold on, Chris, can I ask one more real quick? Will the top two guys that come out of this little round robin thing, will they maybe have the title fight after this is said and done?
They might, yeah. I mean, it's just, honestly, it depends who wins, because I got some funky records in that division, some funky fight records, you know. So, I mean, I got this kid named Josh Brackenridge that's like 2-6, but he's the scrappingest 115-pound dude you've ever seen, but you know, a lot of his losses came from fighting guys that were really a lot bigger than him, because he couldn't get fights at 115, so the guy will weigh in with, you know, sand in his pockets and fight at 125. Dude, seriously, I've seen this guy. I mean, like, really, I've seen him weigh under 110 pounds. He's little. I got a kid named Alan Applegate. I mean, he's, you know, he's barely 115. He's walking around at that weight. So, and then Justin Chaney, Nick Osborne's the biggest of the three. I think he's the only one that's actually cutting any weight to get in this tournament. And these other guys, they're really walking around 120, 115 in that range. You know, so a lot of them that have losses on their record were taking fights at 125 against guys that were walking around at 135. So, you know, hopefully this will give them a chance to fight and compete against people their own weight class. And, you know, hopefully we can help some of them get their records turned around. But, of course, if two guys come out of this, you know, with winning records, yeah, I'd let them fight for the belt.
That's sweet. Go ahead, Chris.
So what do you think about Hardy Freely and Jeremy Cameron? You know, Hardy's my boy. Jeremy's your boy. What do you think about that fight? What's your game plan, Eric?
What's my game plan? Let me tell you everything we've been working on, Chris. Hang on a minute. No.
Hey, Chris, hold on, I've got this. They've been working on shooting the single, transitioning to the high crotch, getting the takedown straight to the arm triangle.
There you go.
They've just been drilling the shit out of that, man. That's going to be their trick. You should be well ready for it.
Here's the deal with Jeremy, you know, and I'll just be frank and honest with it. Here's the deal with Jeremy. I've been training with Jeremy for a very long time, and Jeremy's hit or miss. You know, if he shows up, he's dangerous. If he has an off night, he could make a mistake. That's been kind of the story with Jeremy. He's very talented in the gym. He does a really great job. He's well-rounded in all areas, striking, grappling. You know, he's a jiu-jitsu blue belt close to purple. He's you know, striking-wise, he's got very good hands. So, I mean, it could go anyway, but the thing is, that's if he shows up. If he doesn't show up, and he'll make a mistake, and Hardy will win. So it could go. It's one of those things that could go either way. Hardy's got the way better record, you know, so on paper, it's Hardy's fight. But the plan with Jeremy is, you know, we're trying to get him on the right track to turn him pro. But if we can't fix the issues, then we're just going to focus on turning him into a coach. So this is kind of like a shit or get off the pot fight. I don't know if I can say the S word on this show, but
no. You can say shit, fuck.
You're all right.
Well, this is his shit or get off the pot fight, and I'm hoping, because this guy's honestly, he's like a brother to me, man. So I'm hoping he goes out and he performs and does well, and either way, I'd like to see Hardy competing for our 135 belt at some point. I don't think I have a 35er that beats Hardy, honestly.
Hey, I'm not letting him fight at 135 no more. It's 125 from after this fight.
Really? No kidding.
Oh, you're not letting him.
Hardy's my boy, man. Hardy's my boy. He's fighting at 125 from now on, man.
Breaking news,
everybody.
Can he
make
126?
Dude, breaking news.
Conor's Gregory. Can he make that weight, 125?
He can make it, man. He can make it.
Because that'd be Hardy versus Miles or Hardy versus Badger. That would be an awesome fight to watch.
I know. It's a possibility.
Yeah, it is. I've got a April 27th. My next event is I'm doing a fundraising event for Wounded Warrior Project. It's going to be a trippy show, man. We're bringing in recruiters from all branches of the services in the atrium at the hotel. We're bringing in all of our cage side seats are going to be donated to Purple Heart recipients. We're doing some exciting stuff on that card, and we're going to try to load that card up with active duty or prior military fighters. That's going to be exciting. But the show after that, hopefully, will be another one that's loaded and stacked with great title fights. So we'll get to see how some of these fights pan out, and then see the guys that win on this show fighting in June. I try to get people fighting every other show and not every single show unless they want to, you know.
Hey, let me ask you a different kind of question, since, you know, you've been developing this whole event and 10 previous. How is it working with your commission in that state? And the second part of the question is, how many inspectors will you have provided or sent to you?
I believe that it's an absolutely perfect system if you are an upright promoter. You know, it's a perfect system. We have a person that's licensed by the state who's, you know, been through proper training and submitted proper documentation to be, you know, a sanctioning rep. And I've done it both ways. I've been down in Oklahoma where the state supervises the amateur, and it's just a mess. Up here, it works out really well. It enables us to have a lot more shows because there's multiple sanctioning bodies. So it's really effective. And then as far as we'll have, you know, two or three people from, are we counting judges and things like that?
No,
I'm just talking about reps.
Just inspectors who will be in the back, maybe watching hand wraps and walking out with the individual fighters, you know, not judges or refs.
We have two people that come in and perform those duties to whatever standard they require. We've got two people that come in and do that. Hand wraps are all signed off on by representatives of the commissioning body and checked and inspected, and then the gloves are put on and taped shut, you know, just like you would expect. It's not quite as strict as, you know, like when I go to Oklahoma and they've got an inspector standing right there the whole entire time, you know, with the fighter, and they can't leave the room. You know, it's not quite that strict. We require them to stay on the property and stay within the warm-up areas or the venue. But, you know, it's not quite as strict as some of the other places I've seen.
I'm just curious, you know, the Lucky actually tomorrow will be going to the OSAC meeting for our athletic commission here in Oregon. But, you know, we're always, trying to see what other commissions are doing, what other chasing bodies are doing. You know, you never know what information comes out that can help us in our, you know, in our fight over here against our people, because it's not beautiful here. So it sounds like you got a much, much better setup.
I think it's a great setup. I had the conversation with the athletic commissioner here about it. I was like, man, why, we don't need to interfere with this. It's working. It's working flawlessly. We don't have high incidence of unfair practices or things happening. Occasionally, a suspended fighter will slip through, but again, that's occasionally. I've not had any suspended fighters slip through on my show. There was a show a couple weeks ago that a suspended fighter got through the cracks. But I mean, it's working, and it's working really well. But what it comes down to is the promoter himself dictates a lot of what happens. And if the promoter's shady, then he's going to find a shady sanctioning rep to work with, and then they'll just have a shady show. But my experience has been here in the last 3 weeks. I've personally attended every promoter in the area show, and all of them, from what I see, are running above board operations. Nobody's trying to get over on anybody or be shady. Everything I've seen, you know, there's things that could be improved, but it's working and it's effective. And to me, it's always less government is better. You know, I don't need the government involved in everything that I do. So I like the sanctioning bodies the way they are in Missouri.
Hey, Eric, I want to ask you, why do you feel like MMA in our area is so cutthroat and promoters feel like they can't get enough? Well, I feel like everybody can get the same piece of the pie. I think if everyone would work together and do shows on different days, which won't happen because it seems like everybody's trying to have a pissing match. I mean, I'm serious, everyone.
I feel you 100%. Here's what it is, in a nutshell. There's two issues that affect MMA in our area, and one of them is lack of black belt leadership, if you will. You know, you go to a lot of communities, and there's six or seven BJJ black belts in that community. There's, you know, a lot of high-level trainers in that community. And so the leadership and the sport is more mature in those areas. Out here, I've not been here but 10 years, and I can remember there being no MMA here. You know, so it's a new sport for all of us. And most of the gyms out here, very few of them are 10 years old or you know, they're all newer. Gyms, mine's 5 years old, you know, Springfield Fight Club 7. But other than that, most of the other gyms around here, a lot of them have popped up in the last 2 to 3 years. So it's a very young here. And then, like you said, everybody is scared that there's only a cupcake and we all got to fight over that cupcake. When the truth is we could all stuff each other's mouths full of cake every day. There's plenty for everyone. There's so much opportunity here. And I agree, if we'd help each other promote each other's events, and fill each other's fight cards, and which I've done it. You know, last week a fight promoter had a last-minute 205er drop-off. I had so many fights on my card, I took one of the 205ers off my card and sent him over the other promoter's way. You know, I was at another promoter's event 2 weeks ago, and the guy came after me like I was there trying to promote my event. And I was just there to see the fighters that were fighting and support them because they fight on my show. And the guy was like, hey, this is the place to promote your event. I was like, look, man, your whole fight card's on the internet, and I have Facebook. So I can talk to these guys anytime I want. If I want to steal your fighters, you're not going to stop me. I came here to support you, dude. Quit being a dick, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know,
now,
so,
how important is that for you to go and actually, because I'll be honest, all of us on this show tonight have known multiple promoters who don't go out of their basement. How important is it for you to go see the fighters personally and see how they perform?
It's huge. I want to see if a guy gets suspended. I want to see how he fights. I want to know the fighters on my roster. So if I have an opportunity to go watch him fight, I'd like to go watch him fight. But again, it's like you go to these promoter shows and they act like you're, you know, the enemy. when, you know, really it's, we should all be hanging out having coffee once a month and have a promoter support group so we could all sit around and whine about how bad it sucks being a promoter. I mean, you know, there's no reason to not support each other. It's a scarcity mentality. Like I said, people see a cupcake. I don't see a cupcake, man. I see, like, the whole a big, massive cake that we could all just feed each other all day with. There's plenty of fighters. There's plenty of people that want to participate. There's plenty of spectators. And here, now, let me draw a line, though. That doesn't mean I want to share my backyard with a guy, but we're talking about, in my region, three promoters that are in three separate towns that really are. We had we all had back-to-back shows. There was one 2 weeks ago, there was one last weekend, and then mine this weekend. And by all accounts, all the shows did well. You know, I know the one 2 weeks ago was packed. I mean, it was full house. My show, full house. The one last week had a good turnout. You know, I talked to the promoter. He said, man, it was a good night for me. So if we all three can do shows back-to-back, which normally they're usually 2 or 3 weeks apart, but if we can all do shows back-to-back, what's the problem? You know, everybody should be happy. And then just help each other out and send people each other's way, in my opinion, anyway.
I agree. Definitely agree. Well, look, we've got a couple more minutes with you. Why don't you go through and run out any information for fans who want to get tickets, you know, fans' location, anything else you want, any sponsors you want to shout out, any social media so fans can find you on Facebook or Twitter?
Sounds good. You can look us up on Facebook, it's facebook.com/UncivilWarMMA. Our website is UncivilWarMMA.com. You can go there and get information or Facebook. As far as tickets go, if anybody wants to get tickets, you go to UncivilWarMMA.com. It's pretty self-explanatory. We have a one-page website that's very simple, and although it still manages to confuse people, I don't know how, but it's one page, and if you go down to the bottom left, you can buy tickets. And all the VIP sold out, tables are sold out, priority seating is sold out. The only thing that's left is general admission. I'm really excited about that. This is the first show where we've had to buy, have an additional run of tickets printed off for the fighters to sell because they're just blowing through them. So, but we'll also have general admission tickets available at the door. The tickets are $20. That's, you know, there's other tickets that are higher priced, you know, but they're all gone. The only thing that's left is $20 general admission. But one of the nice things about our show is that we have two gigantic big screen projectors that shoot on both walls. So no matter where you're sitting, you can always look over and see the projector if you can't see the screen, or if you can't see inside the cage, you can always look over and see the screen. We do two of them, not just one, but two, so that it really keeps the crowd calm when they can look over at the screen and they don't have people standing up in front of them. That's what a lot of fights stem from. So we try to keep the fights in the cage, not in the crowd. Sponsors, Annihilator Fight Gear, that's one of our biggest sponsors. They've really put a lot behind the event. Reliable Imports, Classic Sports Bar and Grill. Man, I should have brought notes with me on that, so I'll just leave it at that. Those are my main sponsors. But we got so many people helping us out on every level. There's so many people. I put a post on Facebook the other day and tried to name as many people as I could. Our ring announcer, man, the guy is phenomenal. He does so much work for the money that he receives in exchange for it. Everybody that supports this thing. I've got Get It Girls, the ring girls that come out. They're fantastic. And I've managed to surround myself with a bunch of people who do a really great job, and I'm really fortunate to have that, you know?
Well, yeah. I want to sit right next to Amy Meisner because she yelled at me last time, and now she loves me. So now we're best friends, and we don't have no beef.
Here's the deal, man. Amy's in charge of the whole show, so she'll decide who sits next to her, man. I have no influence. If she says she wants you sitting there, she's the last person on earth I'm going to mess with or piss off, you know?
So she can
make my life miserable.
No doubt.
But you'll...
Go ahead.
Well, as I say, I've got some special little area designated for myself and my close people that's going to be pretty nice. So my mom's going to be at this event. This is my 11th event. My mom just turned 60 years old. She's out here for her birthday. She's going to be at the event. So I'm going to have a little table area set up off to the side within the area where the tables surround the cage. And you're welcome to join us over there and hang out. So you'll have a good spot to see the cage and all that.
I'm not sitting by nobody's mama.
You got to be nice to my mom, though, man. Don't be teasing my mom.
Nah, you know I won't.
Eric, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to any fans out there who want to know how this event goes or can't make it. MMAMadhouse.com and MMAtopics.net both will have results. And knowing Chris, probably photos, interviews, and everything else.
Yes, sir, I will. Yeah, we're looking forward to having you guys out there. That's going to be awesome.
Hey, well, we really appreciate your time tonight, Eric. Man, we look forward to this event being super successful for you. And, Chris, you know, I really appreciate you getting out there for Madhouse and covering this event. You know, we definitely appreciate that. Eric, best of luck to you, brother, and we hope to have you on again.
Thank you. I'll be happy to come back anytime. Just let me know.
You got it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Peace.
Chris, sounds like you got one hell of a kick-ass card to go to, man.
You know, I always, man, every week, man, has been busy for me. And I don't think it's stopping, man. April is big. I mean, it's just crazy, man. It's nuts. I love it. Sometimes it gets overwhelming, but once you get to the fights, I mean, the driving gets overwhelming. That sucks. But once you get to the fights, dude, it's kick-ass every time. Sometimes I wish I could just kick back and, you know, drink a beer and watch the fights, but I love covering the event, so.
Hey, so let me ask Jeff while we have you on here, buddy. Is this a two-rep event or a three-rep event? Put the ruffles down, boy.
This isn't ruffles, bro. I'm opening a special package right now.
Oh damn. Yeah. Hey, Jeff, is 24 fights two refs or a three ref event? I guess we lost Jeff, but I was curious.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer, Jeff.
Maybe
a team player.
I think there'll be two refs there, honestly.
I figured Jeff would say two refs because I think Jeff's ref like 14 to 16 fights by himself.
I think that's a commission by commission thing.
Yeah. Well, obviously, they got a kick-ass setup down there, man. If they're able to put on an event this well with that little amount of influence from a state organization, that's great. That's fucking way great. Take note, Oregons.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they do it. They hire a rep, and then they have a sanctioning body, pay the sanctioning body, they come out. And I'm sure it's not as much as what a state would, you know, charge you. So, I mean, it's probably not cheap, but it's probably not that expensive either.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. I see your special package. And for everybody out there, Apaki's got himself a big old pint of Häagen-Dazs.
I wish, dude. But I am unwrapping my latest bottle of Alpha Brain that just hit my porch today while I was at work.
Häagen-Dazs,
I was out.
Ice cream bars.
Hey, that's what Alpha Brain should make. It's like ice cream bars.
That's really kind of going against the theory of on it. You know, they're not really big in the ice cream scene. They're more into, like, you know, vitamins, brain vitamins, kettlebells, battle ropes, fitness DVDs.
Speaking of kettlebells, Chris from Tribe Fitness came over today to give me shit about smoking cigarettes in front of his gym again. And it was funny because I was like, he was asking, he goes, hey, so when's your buddy coming over? The guy likes kettlebells. He goes, like, we just got brand new ones in. We're all at the 45-pounders in here. These girls are killing it. I was like, Foggy's going to have fun over at this gym.
45-pounders, man, that's a workout, bro. But that puts on, I feel like when I was doing 45s and 60s there for a couple weeks, I was felt like I was bulking up, and I didn't like it.
Well, dude, well, they've got them all, man. I can't wait for next time you come over, kick it at the gym with them.
That way, at least somebody's using that free year membership.
Dude, we're this okay, dude. I'm sorry. I'm kind of like nerding out right now on this filibuster. But, dude, these guys are balling out right now, dude. We're in, like, 11-and-a-half-hour-long filibuster right now. This shit, this is the Constitution at work, people.
Hey, look, did you guys hear the rumor that MMA was passed in New York, or is that just a rumor?
I heard it passed,
no.
4-7.
It passed the first stage, but once it goes in front of the House, it has to be voted on by the House or the Senate or whatever the hell they have in each state. And once it gets there, it's been turned down 3 times there already.
Well, they should look at the revenue. Hey, as long as it brings in revenue, people should be happy. Fucking, I mean.
I just don't understand why they don't, you know, fucking go with casinos or something there, you know. Throw one. Some reservations.
Can they do? Is there any though? I mean, there has to be a few, but
see, it's messed up because amateur MMA is legal there. I mean, you don't have to be on a reservation for that. I don't understand why that's legal there, but pros not.
That's weird, huh?
That's what's so confusing.
Smoker events, smokers, man.
That seems. Smokers get people hurt.
Well, where is Jeff back with us?
I don't think so. Jeff's been working hard lately, man. He's been getting everybody in my area clinched.
No shit.
Finally. Shit, everybody was like begging him for shit, and finally everybody started buying shit. Probably still
that's how it works. That's how it works. It's not the free clinic. It's a clinch custom mouth guards.
Hey, that's word. Hey, don't talk about where I like to find my girls in the free clinic, bro. Come on.
Hey, I got a monthly parking pass. I don't know what you're talking about. There is nothing like hanging out there waiting for young ladies who need a crying shoulder.
You're sick motherfuckers.
Hey, Jeff, I mentioned earlier on the question, do you have 2 reps for 24 fights?
Nah.
Would I?
Would you do 2? Would you do 1? Would you do 3?
If I had my choice? Do I have to share the money? Do we get paid the same either way? I could do 24 by myself. And I'd want the money. If I got to split the same amount of money with somebody else and get 12 each, no thanks. I'll go do it all myself. But it was pushing it. Is how many intermissions are going to be? Do I get to stop and pee? You know.
Oh yeah, there's,
watch the
there's a couple of intermissions.
You don't get to stop and have a hot dog though.
That's all right. I could live.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't want to share the money.
Well, and I you know, it's funny because you got what, 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 4 intermissions. So you got time.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, I think I would only go 2 intermissions. I'd go 8 fights.
Yeah, but there's an undercard that starts at 5 o'clock because there's 25 fights.
That's
so
why I said I'd go 8 fights with 2 intermissions.
Yeah. I don't know.
You could. This is doable. I've been to shows with 10 fights and 2 intermissions, so.
Jeff,
you know,
6 of the fights are title fights.
5 rounders?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That one, he just said the 1205 guys probably won't last like a minute or something, he said.
Dude, he said that one guy
gets punched in the face and then knocks people out.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, dude, if Brandez, the Black Pearl or Black Plague, whatever, the Black Plague pal hits you, you're going to sleep, dude. He don't even look like... He doesn't even look intimidating. But Gus Anderson, God, now what is going on over there?
That's Lepaki with his ruffles.
What are you talking
relax.
About, dude?
Relax, bro.
I don't even have any ruffles. I'm out.
It's Cheetos.
I ate them.
It's the echo in the room.
It is.
Nah, but, I mean, it's a good card, you know? I could not go to this card. I mean, I have so many people that I support on this card, and there's a lot of local fighters, man. It's going to be I mean, I guarantee there's going to be quite a bit of knockouts.
Hickman tough? Is John Hickman tough?
Hickman is very tough. I was sitting at a fight one night. I was sitting at a fight one night where he fought, and he fought a guy named Cliff Williams, who was a tough dude. And everybody was like, yo, check out Cliff Williams. John Hickman came out and knocked out Cliff Williams in like 10 seconds. I mean, the whole room just got silent. I mean, it was nuts, you know, because he just came out of nowhere. And he's like an older guy, too. You know what I'm saying? He's not young. So I feel like older dudes, like, they're a problem, you know. They got that grown man strength.
Fucking
and
A.
If you're rocking a beard, I have to go with you in the fight. Anybody who's rocking a beard is going to win that fight. Fear the beard.
Amen.
Come on, man. Get off this shit.
Oh, get over yourself, baby face. Get over yourself, baby face.
What do you think? Like, just because Johnny Hendricks one punches everybody and he's got a beard? Man, Kimbo had a beard too, man.
He's one punching people right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that's right.
One punch to the gut.
It's just too bad that Kimbo wore his chin out on the backyard circuit.
Yeah, no shit. No,
because I've seen that guy take some heavy hands like before in fights.
Yeah, but were they really heavy? You know.
Well, I mean, I guess that's true. I mean, they look pretty heavy.
You never know. An MMA guy hitting way harder than a big guy. Who isn't in MMA? You know.
Yeah. Man, what did you guys all hear about Paul Bearer passing away?
That's sad, because that was him and Undertaker were, you know, my youngster days, WWF days, not WWE bullshit, WWF.
Yeah, I've always had a problem with that. Fuck the Wildlife Foundation for taking that away.
Bullshit.
First.
Did she really say fuck the Wildlife Foundation?
I'm asking everybody out there to go kick a panda today.
And honor WWE. Fucking animals are going to eat your ass when you go outside the next time.
No doubt.
I have a fully automatic AR-15 with a sniper rifle for deer hunting. They're not
going to jump in. Your ass is going to jail.
I'll kick a panda.
Right over. You look like Kung Fu Panda. Hey, I had someone tell me today that Chris Gregory was a badass. Some guy on Facebook today told me Chris Gregory was a badass. What the hell was his name? I was like, who, Chris Gregory? Yeah.
Did he say Silver Dollar?
I said the guy that fights with a shirt on. And he said, oh, well, yeah, that's him. I was like, wow.
Chris, I got to ask you right now, if I buy you a custom hoodie and on the back I put Chris Silver Dollar Gregory, would you wear it?
No.
Oh, that name's <different. laughs> I'm going to that for the day I got.
I will. I will take it and get it changed.
Silver Dollar Pancake.
Dude, I think we just have it stitched in, not screen press.
You can just tell people
like
who don't know, you can just tell them that it's a reference to how many silver dollar pancakes you ate once.
Fuck you.
Hey, Nipples. Corey Hines was a guy.
Oh, yeah. Corey Hines is all right. We know who Corey Hines is. He was supposed to fight Christian Camp. He was supposed to fight Christian Camp on this card. And got armbarred like crazy last week. It was a deep armbar. So Caleb, actually, his teammate, stepped up to fight Christian. So, yeah, Corey's a good wrestler, man. He's a good kid, too.
Just confused or what?
What's up?
You just confused? Because he thinks you're a badass.
Yeah, I'm a badass. You know, I'm a local badass.
I got so local.
I don't
YouTube.
Know. I don't claim to be a badass, man.
I'm glad you, man. I'm the biggest badass in this house.
right now the biggest badass in my studio.
Yeah, nobody's here, just me. But right now, I take everybody. Don't tell her I said that, okay?
At the dinner.
Do not tell her I said that.
Hey, Chris, why don't you get some
shout-outs real quick? Hey, dude, 6 minutes, cool. Not too six.
Good. I'd like to play a commercial, and I'd like everyone to have time to give shout-outs.
Yeah, no
don't
shit, LeBron, you motherfucker.
This motherfucking ass up.
I'm going to give some special shout-outs.
I would like to give it up to everyone who is out there holding down the Harlem Shake for Lapati. Also,
I'm
going to
piss in your fucking Wheaties.
I want to thank Game Changer Clothing, Quench Custom Mouse Guards, several other companies that I've been talking to recently. Some big things are about to happen for MMATopics.net, and they're about to happen real soon. So I'd like to thank everybody who's on board with me, Skippy, Lapati, Carl, Clinch, all you guys, thank you.
Hey, no problem, brother.
Teddy, Teddy DiBiase is coming back to MMA Topics. Get ready.
Oh, hell yes.
Get ready.
Dude, he was one of my favorite shows, man. I ain't gonna lie, dude. That guy is in fucking insane. He is great to listen to. I have never seen somebody call up more famous fighters and talk shit and have those people fucking talk shit back and finish the show and have it all ended perfect. I mean, I've heard him fucking hang up on people and then call right back. It's great. He had one of the most gangster-ass MMA shows out there.
This is going to be great for my MMA career. No, I'm just playing.
Oh, dude, straight up, dude. I mean, he got in wars. He got fucking huge followings. He had people that would call, just want to be on his show. He had the best fucking commercial break for smoking weed ever. It was just like this reggae music, and then you would hear him hitting the bong the whole time. I used to crack it up.
I would like to be in the same room with him as he's doing that so that I can partake.
He had the best show because I'm telling you, his show was killing it back in the day, man. Back then, nobody had a better show.
Yeah, I mean, we had 1,200 listens our first show, so I'm happy with that.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Wait till he gets back on, man.
Oh, you will. You will. Hey, Lapati, give some shout-outs, brother, because now we're down to 3 minutes.
I have to go with Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Vision Smoke Shop, MMA Madhouse, Chris Gregory, Rand Paul, Senator Rand, motherfucking Paul right now, leading the filibuster, trying to protect our constitutional rights. Thank you. And I think that's it for right now. Oh, Alpha Brain, thank you for getting my new supply to me on it. I appreciate it.
Big shout-out to Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Everybody, Clinch Guards on Twitter. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards on Facebook. GetClinch.com. Google them. Find them. They're everywhere. Protect your grill, whether you're doing ballet or you're doing box. Get that shit. Boom. Hey, ballet's tough, dude. I got in a fight with some ballet kids once, man. That motherfucker whooped me, dude, with those leg kicks. I wish I would have had a clinch guard, man. I would have 18. And for my big shout-out to my sponsors, I want to thank MMA Madhouse. You guys always take good care of me. I love working. Badass Dickie's coming. Look for him soon. Also, my newest sponsor, the Fleshlight. Thank you very much. And
whoa!
The what?
Very happy to have the Fleshlight.
What is it? What is it?
Dude, you Google.
It's your birthday present. It's going to be their birthday
dude,
present.
Dude, Google
bro.
It. Just Google it. Nah, yeah,
let's just get it for him for his birthday.
Okay, dude. Oh, we should just buy Jeff one and send it to him.
Put happy birthday to myself, and then when Stormy sees the box, she'll be like, what the fuck
is wrong with you, Jeff?
Fleshlight?
Big shout out. Yeah, Fleshlight. Fleshlight. I own six. One for every day of the week, but I was hoping that Fleshlight would throw me a seventh, so I'd like the black. Thank you. Big shout out to the big black one, the chromed one. with that midnight
what
chrome.
Interior, what interior do you want?
Oh, I definitely want Young Asian.
The first?
I think if I was going to get one, I think I would go with the BB
oh,
Jones.
Oh, damn.
They're caught on live air, too. We're not off yet. Yeah.
Oh, my good Lord.
Oh, everybody out there, hashtag Madhouse, Clinch, Fleshlight.
Dude, every
hey,
once in a while,
you
just blow a load, Jeff. Every once in a while, you just got to blow
nope.
some loads.
Yeah, I know.
Jeff, if you
yeah,
don't have
what?
One of those in... no, Jeff, you live in a big city. I live in Houston. If you don't have one of those for afternoon traffic on the way home, you will never make it home without shooting somebody.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is messed up. I'm scarred. Scarred for life.
Dude, scarred for
game
life.
Game changer. Game changer.
I just saw enough dick to last me a lifetime. Damn. What's with all the demos? They don't need to have demos in the Google search. Cut my own eyes out. That's wicked.
Oh.
You suck. You suck, pal. You wait. I'm going to get you.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious.
Oh, man.
That I think that just made the show so perfect.
I'm going to make my wife look that up when she gets home.
Dude, she was talking about this
so
great
cool.
sponsor he has.
So cool. Check it out. Check it out. It's awesome. I want one of these right away.
No, just tell her Skip's new sponsor and say, he said I should get one.
Yeah.
That way the ball's in her court, because if she turns to you and goes, ooh, you're a kinky bastard, order three, you're on. If she looks at you, she goes, Skip is just fucked up. Why would he tell you this? Then you're like,
no, she,
I told him, honey. I told him this is messed up.
No, you don't know my wife. My wife would say, you told me you didn't want one of those.
Dude, so I did hear the best joke the other day, okay? So this guy's having an affair with his secretary. And one day about 3 o'clock, he goes over to her house and they have sex until it's like 8 o'clock at night. So while he's getting dressed, he tells his secretary, go out and rub my shoes in the dirt and the mud and kind of get them a little dirty for me. She's like, that's kind of weird. Huh? She's like, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, oh, I'll just tell my wife I was at the golf course and, you know, she won't think anything about it. So he gets home, and his wife's like, where have you been? Yeah, why are you so late getting home? And he's like, well, honey, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been having an affair with my secretary, and I just left her house after having sex with her all afternoon. And she looks down at his shoes, and she sees them all covered in mud, and she goes, you liar. You've been at the golf course all day.
That works. Actually, that works. That's not even a joke. That works.
Dude, okay. Here, I got a super quick one. It's clean, too. You guys will like. So this guy comes running into a barber shop, and he rips open the door. He goes, how long for a haircut? And barber looks around. He goes, 2 hours. And the guy just takes off running. Following week, the guy comes running in, and he rips open the door. He goes, how long for a haircut? And the barber looks around. He goes, I don't know, 2 hours. And he just takes off running. So the third time he does this, the barber tells him 2 hours, and when the guy takes off running, he looks at one of his buddies who's in line to get a haircut, and he says, go follow him. Tell me what happened. For about 30 minutes later, his buddy comes back. He goes, he keeps going to your house.
That would work, too.
That was... Whose turn is it now?
Come on, Chris. And I don't want to hear, what do you call a snail on a ship, either?
I don't know what you're going for. I wasn't in prison as long as Kippy was. I'm just playing.
I was in county as Kippy.
I don't have any jokes, man. Mine are not radio ready.
What do you mean? You act like this is terrestrial.
Just tell us about
your
marriage. We can all laugh about that.
Fuck you guys.
I bet if we had Dallas Browning on right now, he'd have jokes.
Dude, I guarantee he has a joke. That dude. That dude's a joke. I didn't mean to. I'm getting fucked up for that.
Dude, but it didn't he post something just recently about doing some stand-up or something?
No, I think that's Gerald Harris.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I knew it was one of those guys over there. I just couldn't remember who, but, yeah, I saw one of the fighters in your
chocolate
area.
Chocolate comedy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gerald's a top comedian in his area. So.
There's like a good little comedy scene in Tulsa, dude.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize that there was until I went to a show. I mean, I was literally the only white dude in the audience, but, you know, it was cool.
Yeah, dude, that's where they've always done comedy, is at that black club up there on, like, 13th or something, right next to what used to be, God, I can't think of the name of it right now. I was always too drunk when I was there.
There was a white comic one night. It was hilarious, right? He got up there and was like, well, you know, the good thing about being here with you guys is I know my house is not getting broken into. Oh, dude, I mean, it was fucking hilarious.
I love shit like that, dude.
Okay,
guys. Jeff, do you have any jokes?
No jokes. Not that aren't at somebody else's expense. So I'm going to leave Chris alone for today.
Oh, fuck. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Okay,
well,
we'll put your feet to the fire on Friday night's Rogue show. You will be expected to have one Chris Gregory joke on Friday night.
Oh, that's easy.
Fuck no.
Okay, guys. Eagle.
Dude, if you've been wondering where to find the largest selection of custom glass products in Central Oregon, wonder no more. At Vision Smoke Shop, located on Southwest 6th in Redmond, they feature one-of-a-kind stuff from 16 local glass blowers. They don't only blow glass, they blow your mind, man. They got great prices on hookah products and tobacco, too, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Literally, the friendly staff can educate you. They'll be happy to get you up to speed on everything Vision Smoke Shop has to offer. Thinking your hectic disc golf schedule might make it tough to stop by? They understand. And at Visions, they've got everything you need to make your disc golf experience perfect. So it's worth your trip, because if there's one thing they don't like to see wasted, it's time. While you're there, be sure to check out the selection of custom painted longboards. Visit facebook.com/visionsmoke for a first-hand look at some of their unique items. Their prices are already affordable, and they also give a 10% discount to OMMP cardholders, because if there's another thing they don't like to see wasted, it's money. What do they like to see wasted? Well, you figure that one out. Vision Smoke Shop. Located in downtown Redmond, the glassiest place in Central Oregon.
Miles is better than off-state travel.
I don't know.